Delhi Jawaharlal Nehru University is back in the headlines, this time for violent clashes over food menu of Cauvery hostel mess. There are of course claims and counterclaims. Left affiliated students allege that AVVP activists were not allowing the cooking of chicken in the hostel mess. AVVP activists allege that they were not being allowed to do a havan on Ram Navami. So get ready for a fractious debate on JNU in the coming days and weeks, and smoke and mirrors too. But before coming to my two pennies worth, let me start with a few disclaimers. First, JNU is my alma mater. I can't define myself ideologically. I had started as a free thinker. It was a student collective that sought to, stay out of ideological straitjackets. It was in a way a counter to the leftist ideology prevalent in the university in 1970s and afterwards also. So a sociologist, Professor Anand Kumar, had started this students collective, Freethinkers. Anyway, coming to the main point, as I said, I started as a free thinker, then flirted with different ideologies before abandoning them all. As it is, I continue to be a free thinker, free from any ideological baggage. The second disclaimer from me is that I did vote for the AVVP when a classmate of mine contested in the Students' Union election as a counselor, as an AVVP candidate. He was a hardcore non-vegetarian and never organized any puja as such. He won nonetheless. By the way, I really wonder when JNU students started holding havans in hostels. It didn't happen in our times. I'm told it started about 3-4 years back. Anyway, my third and last disclaimer is, I'm a complete vegetarian when I fast during Navratri. But I have had non-vegetarian food, plenty of it in fact, during this Navratri. That is because I wasn't fasting. What I'm trying to drive at, is the fact that JNU alumni like me find it hard to identify ourselves with the university where violent clashes happen over the choice of food. In our days and before that, you know, the dining tables in the mess would be littered with pamphlets by groups from the left, the right, the center. We would actually make fun of their contents, while members of those organizations, my friends in the AVP, in the AISF, SFI, ISA, I mean, they would also respond with a lot of mirth. There was no ill will as such. Shedding blood over food choices on the JNU campus is therefore hard to digest. You may complain I am not giving much importance to the counter-allegation of left-wingers stopping the havan, but that remained unsubstantiated when my colleague visited the campus on Sunday. But if that is true, I must condemn that too. Anyway, coming to the clashes over the food choice, there are two arguments, mutually contradictory of course, that are likely to dominate the public discourse in the coming days. First, that JNU is home to anti-national, anti-Hindu and Tukle Tukle gang. Those making these points would invoke the 2016 sedition charges against JNU SU leader Kanhaiya Kumar, Umar Khalid and others. The second or the other line of argument would be that the AVVP is affiliated with the RSS, whose ideology is divisive and intolerant. Be it the right to practice one's faith, wear one's dress, or eat one's food. I'm not saying it from my side, I'm just saying that will be the other line of argument. I'm talking about two arguments here. Both these arguments are prejudiced and mostly baseless, as I think. But the amount of conviction and force their proponents display is amazing. Coming to the first point first, let me tell you an anecdote. In early 2018, as you know, protests were gathering momentum in the wake of Maharashtra's Bhima Koregaon violence, I'm sure most of you will remember. At that time, I happened to meet a very important government functionary for an informal interaction. I asked him how he viewed the incident and its aftermath. You know what he said? Aapko pata hai kaun iske piche hai? Do you know who is behind it? He asked me. I just shook my head. He said, iske piche saare JNU wale hain, meaning that JNUites are behind those clashes in Bhima Koregaon. I was too dumbfounded to ask how. The Maharashtra police had called it a Maoist conspiracy, but a responsible government functionary bringing JNU wale into it, that was a bit of a surprise. Anyway, you know, trickle-down theory may have many skeptics, but it certainly works in propaganda politics. So a few weeks after my said interaction in Delhi, I traveled to Karnataka to cover the assembly election. I was speaking to a retired banker in Udupi. He was actually a very well-informed gentleman with a keen interest in politics. I was enjoying my conversation with him. Suddenly, he asked me which university I went to. The moment I said JNU, he pulled out my visiting card from his pocket and gave it back to me. "I can't talk to someone from JNU," he said, before walking away. I sought to stop him, you know, okay, but what happened? He wouldn't explain. He just left. I mean, his words still ring in my ears. It has been 4 years and I just can't forget it. I have some questions from people who pursue the first line of argument I said, that JNU is home to Tukli Tukli gang, anti-national elements. So what is it in JNU that hurts these people? Do JNU baiters really believe in what they say? Or is it JNU's argumentative and questioning attitude towards the academic culture that upsets them? Or is it that Kanhaiya Kumar's or Omar Khalid's alleged acts of omission or commission have made the university a convenient tool for dog whistling? I have no answers. As per the Narendra Modi government's ranking, you know, which is done by the Ministry of Education, JNU is the second best university in India. Even Modi's team is filled with JNUites, including two in the Cabinet Committee on Security, you know, External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar and Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman. Then you have so many bureaucrats, secretary rank officers in the government of India who are alumni of JNU, and there are many, many other bureaucrats in the government. So this in itself should have actually silenced the JNU baiters, but it hasn't. Anyway, let's now discuss the other line of argument that you may be hearing soon from opposition leaders. Now, they'll be linking the AAVP's actions in JNU with its mothership, the RSS, and accuse the Sangh of trying to impose food habits. This argument too is fallacious. Completely baseless, I would say. Let me tell you another anecdote at this point. You know, in the 1960s, when Venkaiya Naidu, now the Vice President of India, when he was in college, an acquaintance of his asked him to join the RSS. Naidu was reluctant because, you know, he was under the impression that the Sangh would ask him to stop eating non-vegetarian food. And he loved it too much to think of giving it up for any higher goal. His acquaintance then took him to a senior RSS functionary who explained to him how the Parivar never interfered in food choices. And the rest is history. Decades later, you know, now, Naidu loves narrating this to his guests in Delhi whenever he hosts them over sumptuous non-vegetarian dishes from Andhra Pradesh. So I also happen to be there very often. I really love that food. You know, Prime Minister Modi and Amit Shah may be vegetarians, but a large number of union ministers, BJP parliamentarians and leaders are ardent non-vegetarians, I can tell you. Similarly, RSS Chief Mohan Bhagwat and other senior functionaries may be vegetarians, but it's by their choice, not by any diktat. Swayamsevaks or volunteers, they're free to dig into chicken or mutton whenever they feel like it. There is no diktat as such. So now you may ask me which of the two arguments I support or which side of the debate I am. Well, as I told you, I'm a free thinker. And in this case, support neither side on this. So what explains the violent clashes at JNU on Sunday evening? Well, I don't see any larger design or conspiracy as such. Political clashes are not new to JNU. Many students had been jailed and expelled from the university for opposing the emergency in 1970s. In fact, when Menaka Gandhi, then Prime Minister's daughter-in-law, came to attend classes, she was in JNU then, I think she was pursuing German studies. She was forced to go back by agitating students. Again, come to 2005 when then Prime Minister Manmohan Singh visited the campus, students made slogans in protest. And you know what? One of the students who had shown a black flag to Manmohan Singh then is today a close aide of Priyanka Gandhi. He was first a speechwriter for Rahul Gandhi, and now he's a very close aide of Priyanka Gandhi. His name is Sandeep Singh. Anyway, coming to the question about who should be responsible for the campus clashes on Sunday, I don't have clear answers. All I would say that former JNU Vice Chancellor M. Jagdesh Kumar, who is now the UGC chairman, and the Delhi police must share the blame or credit for laying the ground for this. Kumar mistook his vice chancellorship as a political and ideological assignment, or so it seems to me from the way he was taking a partisan line during his tenure as the VC. Some of you may disagree, but in my view, he failed as an administrator to take everyone along. I mean, you can't be partisan when you are the vice chancellor of a university. You may agree or disagree, but that's what I think. As for the Delhi police, it showed how it's okay for outsiders with political backing to enter a university campus with sticks and rods, beat up students, and walk away coolly without fearing arrest. You remember that January 2020 incident when about 100 masked men and women entered the campus and beat up students? Well, FIRs were lodged then. But so far, it has been over 2 years, not a single person has been arrested. This must embolden those who are bent on creating troubles on the campus. As for the AVP, the RSS should be mindful of the fact that turning its students' wing into another Bajrang Dal could be counterproductive. Religion can't be the opium of the 21st century youth. Unlike previous generations preceding the digital revolution, today's generation is much more exposed to the world outside, and they are looking for opportunities to realize their aspirations. And that's why they look so mesmerized by PM Modi, because he offers them a lot of hope. Any organization that tries to serve them that opium runs the risk of alienating the youth sooner rather than later. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thanks for watching.